You're listening to a new episode of Empathy Always Wins. Omar, thank you so much for coming on Empathy Always Wins. For those who do not know how I met Omar, I'm not gonna share this. Omar, would you like to tell our listeners a little bit more about yourself, how we met, and before we dive in, I have so much I want to cover with you. You're such an incredible, not just an inspiring leader. And for those who do not know, Omar is a Fulbright scholar as well as the new Prime Minister of the UK. Omar is an incredible human being. Omar, the mic is all yours. So I just wanted to kind of hype you up before we hop on the show.
Thank you. But I'm definitely not the Prime Minister of the UK. I have to have the millions, hundreds of millions of dollars or pounds that he's got. You know, I'm not at that level yet. But, you know, we met through an amazing individual, a very good friend of ours, Rafael Marimon. So, you know, shout out to Rafael and respect. Thank you, Rafael, again, for introducing me to this amazing legend. And thank you, Ali, for hosting me on your show. I'm a Fulbright scholar, author, entrepreneur. The founder of Global Possibilities, a consulting firm focusing on commercial affairs and public diplomacy here in the UAE and in the US. My experience, I worked a lot in the public sector and a bit in the private sector, from banking to media, tourism, diplomacy as well. I published a self-help book called Just Read It. It touches upon social and emotional intelligence and supposed to inspire people like ourselves, students, people who are at work and maybe they want to elevate, they want to do something else, or people that want to innovate or whatever. So I did that. It did very well. And now I'm here. Just working my second book as well. So
wow. But I think there's so many things that we can pinpoint from what you've said, but I just want to dive into something really kind of closely with you, because I see you, in many ways different, unique, in a very special way. But there's one thing that, has always come to my mind, and that is, what is leadership
mean to you? For me, leadership is, I think, people that just are able to inspire others to be better versions of themselves. And when I think of why did I even start doing what I did, like working at a very young age, because when I was in university doing my undergrad, I was a full-time employee and a part-time student. And that was because of the leadership of His Highness Sheikh Mohammed bin Rashid, who is the UAE Vice President, Prime Minister and ruler of Dubai. He was always emphasizing on the fact that the Emiratis need to, upskill and have experience, because by the time they graduate, it's going to be very competitive in the workforce. So that message always used to come out, and he used to have so many different initiatives to try to encourage Emiratis to like work and study, etc. Even when he established, through his direction, the University of Dubai, the idea was to encourage Emiratis to take evening classes so that they're able to work and study at the same time. So when they come out, it's the academia and the work experience will make them will make them stand out. Mm-hmm. So that kind of leadership, and also with the fact that, people feel like Sheikh Mohammed's like aging backwards, because he's always young, he's always active, he's always like doing things. Like one day he's here, another day he's in another country, like meeting heads of states, and then he's like meeting a local family in the middle of like the desert, suburban areas or in the desert sometimes, he will go and hang out with them. So like, how does someone with so many responsibilities do all this? So the fact that he is the way he is helped inspire us, saying, you know what? Why do we only have to stick to a 9-to-5? Or why only do one thing? And this is the reason when people tell me, how are you able to do so many things? I'm like, listen, if my leader is able to have, he's got all these kids, he's got all this responsibility, a whole nation to look after, and then who am I to complain? So I'm like, so for me, Ali, to answer your question, leadership is when someone or some people can inspire others to be better versions of themselves. And that's what I feel and I'm honored that I have this leadership to look up to.
And you know, I think that you know you're also unique in the ways of your public sort of or your diplomacy experiences. I think that you know when I first met you, and something that I realized about you that you know, was very different to your typical Arab is you're very open. You're very introspective. I think judgment is not something that you do. You really look deeper. And that's not typically in the way we are brought up. So how have you been able to cultivate that? Because that is a superpower, in my point of view, from an intelligence, from an emotional intelligence standpoint, and from just, I meet a lot of people, I'm sure you do too, but you don't always get the opportunity to feel like you're actually comfortable with this person or safe to kind of let sort of, or peel that level or peel that onion skin or like peel that face that you wouldn't kind of, or showcase vulnerability. Because I know from the first time we spoke, we kind of kicked it off. I was like, hey, look, I want you on board with me on Empower. I want you to, you know, to be, you know, a powerhouse for us as well, because you're not just good at talking, but you're actually genuine, authentic at doing that. So how has that been able to give you, or how have you been able to sort of go into, you know, public policy and have that journey? When did you figure it out? And how have you been able to take your first steps for someone who's listening, you know, younger right now?
Yeah. So, you know, Ali, the first part of your question in terms of how was I able to have this open-mindedness, I have to credit my family. You know, my parents, my siblings, they played an integral role in allowing me to be this kind of person, you know, and in our home, you know, respecting people from different faiths, cultures, backgrounds, nationality, race. It's always been sort of like a pillar, a very important pillar in our family, including, by the way, my extended family. So that's what I really respect and what I really am happy and proud and fortunate to have a family like this, because I know, and you know, it's not like this with everybody in different parts of the world, by the way, not just in the Arab world, even in other parts of the world.
Minority communities, especially, because we don't have the luxury of this exposure that the Western world has.
Yes, sir. So I had that. And I think so that coupled with one of the things that really helped me be where I am today is being inquisitive. Like I was always, as a young person, I used to always ask questions. I remember my dad, may God rest his soul, every time he watched TV, he was always watching the news. And when I was sitting next to him, I used to annoy him and he used to get really mad because there would be an incident taking place. And I'd be like, I'll ask my dad, Why, what's going on? Why are they doing this? Why is this one attacking this? Why is this? Like, I always used to, and my dad used to get really annoyed because like, why are you asking so many questions? Like, why don't you just watch quietly and like listen and try to learn yourself or whatever? So I was always inquisitive about the things around me. And this was the same in class, by the way. I used to annoy the students. Like I used to be the kid that sat in the front of the classroom and ask so many questions. Like I remember other people were like, listen, you need to stop asking questions because we want to go home. So stop asking. If you have questions, go in the you know, professor's like office hours or something, and then take your time to ask whatever you want. So I used to annoy a lot of people because for me, it's one thing being given education. It's another thing like questioning it and understanding it, really, really understanding it. So that's what made me become the way I am. And then as a result, I realized, you know, I'm like, you know what? With all these things that we see on the news about issues and problems and whatever, I'm like, there's definitely solutions to this. And that is what got me to understand and discover diplomacy, to your question. How did I get into this? So then I started to read more books around diplomacy and the art of, you know, the art of war and this and all these different things. And then slowly, slowly, I was fortunate to actually be the first Emirati to work at the British Embassy in Abu Dhabi. That was my first stint. And I was only 21 years old. Zero experience in that field, but the ambassador met me in 10 minutes, Ali. He was like, you have the job. He's like, you're exactly the person we're looking for. Next thing you know, I was like, I'll be honest with you. I was killing it at the embassy. Like they liked me so much. I really had a good time. I had a chance to work also at the Dubai Chamber of Commerce and International Relations. And then I had an opportunity to work at the UAE consulate in New York. And all this, like, it really shaped who I am. And I noticed that when I meet with people, I'm able to connect with them very quickly. And I think the reason I'm able to do that is, like you said, I don't judge, like you said. And the second thing, Ali, one of the things that I tell people is try to be a generalist. What does that mean? Try to know a little about a lot of things, then a lot about a few things. When you do that, you're able to have a conversation with almost anybody. And also, so if you know that, so even that comes to knowing like their culture. You know, I know a few words or sentences, or even the hello in multiple languages, at least 10 languages I can say like hi or hello or whatever, you know, like it's good. When you know hi, hello, and how are you? People like they love that because they're like, oh, you know, this person isn't. Then you say, oh, how did you learn that? Where did you hear that? Everybody asks that. You know, it's the same when you meet someone who says something to you in Arabic and you're like, wow, how do you know that? You know, it's that is a conversation starter and the icebreaker. So I tell people, just put a small like effort in knowing some small things like this. That's where you have your emotional social intelligence, and it makes you a better person, I think.
Omar, I'm thinking of a lot of stuff you've said here. I think there's a lot to chew here, and thank you very much for sharing this. This is an actionable item for everyone listening. I think it's incredible to see how you're able to connect with pretty much anywhere, anybody and from any different background. But I just want to move now to you being a writer. And I think that this is something that you've doubted, you know, ages ago. I know the story behind it. You know, we've shared this off the record. But like, you know, I want you to walk me through the mawa'izah, the wisdom behind sort of understanding what, like understanding how not to doubt yourself. I think this is something that, or how not to limit your capability or your abilities in wanting to achieve many things. Many people listening to the show are young or people that, you know, want to achieve things, want to become better leaders. And I'm pretty sure you're at the stage where, you know, you had something written, you weren't really sure about it. You know, someone came into your life, this whole notion sort of almost magically kicked off, and the book touched so many people. What do you say to someone who is scared to, you know, walk over that chasm or that?
Yeah, you know, Ali, there's two people that you need in your life for this to happen. You need the people that believe in you, and you need to have the people that don't. And the naysayers, you need to have the sayers and the naysayers. Because what happened, and because I couldn't tell you that you only have to have one or the other. Why is that? My uncle, my mom's brother, his name is Isa Rawahi. This man is an absolute legend. Like sometimes I don't know what I would do without him. Like I when I just think about it, I feel like I'll just like cry, because he's been super, super supportive. And every time like something goes wrong, he's like, you know what, Omar, I know you're going to make it. I know you're going to look. And by the way, I don't discount other people that have always said to me like, Omar, you're going to be a minister one day or an ambassador one day. Like I always get this, which is amazing. And I love, shout out to all those friends that always say that to me. But my uncle, for a long time, he's the guy that gives me this affirmation. He's like always like, look, Omar, you know, you'll make mistakes. But and he always says, there's no such thing as mistakes, only trials. So he would always be the guy to push me. But then at the same time, you have people that just tell me no, or they just delay me or whatever and everything else. And you know what, Ali? Every time people tell me no, there's a thing, a burning feeling inside me for me to prove them otherwise. And I'm like, you know what? Thank you. I will get this. I'll get what I want, but I'll do it a different way. And I'll find another way. So I always say, be stubborn about your goals, but be flexible with your methods. Yeah. So you can be stubborn about what you want to get and what you want to achieve, but there's so many multiple ways. God does not close one door without opening others. Mm. And you have to believe in that statement, and you have to look for it. And that's how you don't doubt yourself. Because you, the way you don't doubt yourself, again, for me, God is my like North Star. So for me, when I have that belief, my belief system to him is so strong that I'm like, you know what? I don't care about any of you people, because all of you are just creators of the same, we came from one place, you know? So who are you to tell me I can't do it if the one who created me told me you know, what you reap is what you sow, right? So you, if he told me like you can make it happen, then who the hell is it? Who the hell are these rest of people? The rest of these people who are trying to like block my opportunities. So, or tell me I can't get these opportunities. So I'm, and I noticed that every time, and you know, some things, Ali, when you put that energy out, when you manifest it, I'm telling you, it will come. And sometimes it will be at the last minute. Like you have something that you're probably waiting for by December. I'll tell you, it will stress the crap out of you.
And I am super stressed, Yamar. I am.
Ali, I swear, I'm telling you, you have to, and this is it. And the reason sometimes why it doesn't come to you quicker is because he's testing you. He's testing you, saying, are you going to believe that I will provide or not?
Yes.
So I am a believer like that. Bro, every time, I swear, I will always be on my last like penny or something. And from nowhere, something comes. I'm like, bro, how did that even happen? I swear, I wake up, I'm like, how did I just have, like, sometimes I swear, I have like some transfers that made it into my bank account. I'm like, why did I get that? Or what did I do to get that? Like, and I won't remember, it was something that was due for me that was like years ago, maybe, or months ago or whatever. And I'm like, whoa. So just believe. That's what you need to have. I think
faith moves mountains. So that's what you're saying. I think faith moves, or lack of it builds mountains and on the road. And I think that it's very hard to, you know, have that feeling unless you actually have it. It's one of those things where, you know, we can talk about it till tomorrow, but until you have faith, like I have faith, like I'm seeing you in front of me, like that type of faith, I'm so certain, then that's when, you know, things start to happen. Because if I'm so certain I'm gonna get there, then why am I worried? But like, of course, it's a test. And I think that's where a lot of people sort of, and I think, Omar, I think one thing that really strikes me out also to be very interesting about who you are is how, what piece of advice would you give younger people who use social media but don't know how to kind of avoid its harmful impacts? Because you use social media very much so wisely. You're on when you're on, you're off when you're off. I see that in the way you use it. But I also see that you're very, very much so focused, and your path is somewhat, if I would look at your life from the outside, I'd say there's no way, you know, this person would be able to manage and balance both. So how would you sort of advise someone younger who is using social media, or how would you rather kind of give advice to someone who wants to reach somewhere, but their use of social media can negatively impact them? Because we see right now, you know, many people being affected in so many different ways, but it's almost very difficult to achieve what you're doing, what many others are capable of achieving, yet still having presence. What's your take on that?
So, you know, Ali, one of the quotes my mom used to always like echo to me when I, growing up, she always said, books and friends should be good and few. If you think about it, it's the same as on social media as well. You know, you it's who you surround yourself with is everything. You know, they say like, show me your friends and I'll show you your future, and I'll tell you your future, something like that. Have you heard that quote before? Yeah, yeah, it's the same thing. So if you don't want certain things to affect you on social media, it really, because of these algorithms, it all comes down to who you follow. So if you are following the people who are positive, who are ambitious, who talk about the right things, and they know where they want to go, they have a goal, they're like into that, then normally the algorithms will only kind of feed you those kind of things. Like my feed the whole time is always like quotes, like motivational quotes. A lot of the people that I follow are always sharing those kind of things. They're not sharing like negative content, or it was always like either that or it's like fun stuff, or actually all my friends are showing me stuff about food. I think I'm getting fat just like looking at these calories. So that's why I don't have a body like yours. You look like, you're like super ripped. You know, I'm just looking at food. So that's one, Ali. And I think, and then at the same time, you know, so that's about, you know, books and friends should be good and few. Now, the few, I'll be very honest with you, I actually don't follow as many people as people think. A lot of the accounts that I follow are also like generic, like it'll be like places or subjects or something. It's not people like individuals, you know what I mean? So you need to, we have the ability to control like who we surround ourselves with, whether it's offline or online. Mm. And just like there is negative content online, there's also negative people outside, by the way. So it's all about, you know, life is 90%, sorry, it's 10% of what happens to you, 90% is how you react to it.
Yeah.
So life is only 10% of what's happening to you. This is where you have to start building your resiliency. Mm. And your, you know, and how you deal with certain things that come to you, because these negative things were always going to be there for the rest of our lives till the day we die. Now the question is, how do you deal with these things that come towards you? So that's my advice to the young ones that are coming out. And also there's also this thing with balance, which is very, very important. And you don't have to, and you said I'm doing very well with controlling how much time am I exposing myself to social media. And these even now with these phones, like iPhone and everything, they have a way to control it. Like it can kick you off of Instagram or something, spending too much time, or it can like shut down or something. There's so many different settings that you have that you have to apply that, because, you know, you just have to switch off sometimes. I have a very good mentor, Ali. His name is Mamadou Aboussar. This guy, I love him. He's based now in Chicago, unfortunately, because I miss him. But Mamadou, there was a time for, I think, almost a year, one whole year, he's like, I deleted Instagram from my phone. I was like, forget it. He just went off of it because he's like, he wanted to focus on achieving certain things, and that's fine. And then suddenly he just came back. He came back on Instagram. Not only did he get promoted and everything else, he resigned after that very shortly. He opened his own fund, and he has his own like art collection. Like he opened an art foundation. I'm like, bro, what the hell, man? You became like a Steve Jobs or something, you know? So I take inspiration from people like this.
Yeah, and there's not one thing that actually works for, you know, for all. I think it really depends on who you are, your personality, and, you know, sometimes it's just good to understand that, and I think to take time and reflect. Omar,
yeah.
As we sort of, it's all right to kind of hop into a quick fire round. I ask you something and you kind of hit me back.
I love that.
Okay, so
what answer in one word or one sentence or what or how?
No. I'll just ask you a few questions and then it's just gonna be quick, but shouldn't take long. Omar, what's your favorite book and why?
Good to Great by Jim Collins. That book is epic because Good to Great, he literally talks about how, you know, he mostly focuses on good companies, the difference between good companies and great companies, like how did these companies become like this. But what I love about it, Ali, is there was two things that he focused a lot on that you need for you. And I think it's not just about companies. You can put it on yourself as well as an individual. People and system. You have the right people in a proper system in place. You can create wonders. So that book, I highly recommend, Jim Collins.
What is your favorite quote and why?
The only disability in life is a bad attitude.
Oh, I like that. I really
so for me, that quote resonates with who I am as a person and the people I surround myself with. If I have people with like shitty attitudes, I'm telling you, man, I cancel them out you know how Kanye West just got canceled. Like I cancel them so quick, they don't barely even know what hit them. So, if it's a relationship, I'm like, drama, goodbye, delete. If it's like, I don't know, like shitty people, I'm like, yo, whatever, you know, peace out. So for me, that is like a legendary quote that everybody should know. The only disability in life is a bad attitude. And this was some guy who was like super ripped and he was like, he was in a wheelchair, he's bound in a wheelchair. But bro, if you saw him, you wouldn't believe it. And he's like, that's how he said that quote.
Wow. If you were to be one person, any person in the world for one day, who would it be?
If I could be any person in the world one day, who would it be?
For one day only.
For one day.
Yeah. And then get back to Omar.
I would... That's such a good question and a tough one to answer. Does it have to be a person or can it be an animal?
It could be whatever you want. Go as wild as you can.
You know, honestly, I would love to be a falcon because I just want to see the world from up top. I want to have this aerial perspective. I want to see everything from the top. And fly at the same time. Like one day, if I can just get away from everything, I'll just go and fly.
That's so beautiful. Omar, thank you so much. This has been a lovely, lovely pleasure being on this. I definitely know this is going to be not the first and definitely not the last, sorry, time that you're going to be. Yeah. You're going to be a definite consistent guest. Did you enjoy it?
Man, are you kidding me? I love this. Thank you so much, Akhi. It's always nice chatting with you. I feel like, you know, every time I talk, like I'm learning from you at the same time. So it's a give and take, you know.
Relax. Bagad, I really do appreciate you in my life and we have a lot to do. And Omar is also one of the strategic people helping us at Empower. So that's all I'm going to say for now.
Empower.
Yeah, we will.
You heard that so many times too. It's old now, but like I'm old, so I can use an old.
Nah, you're not.
Well, creepy, like, of course, you say it wants to empower. I can't think of anything else creative. You know, I need to have my second coffee.
بجد يا عمر يعني it's والله it was lovely having you and I can't wait to do the incredible work that we're gonna do whether it's here in UAE or in Egypt or in Saudi or wherever it is in the world. We're just getting started. I think you're an inspiration to me, not only by what you've done but by who you are. I think a lot of people just forget the fact that you can be so powerful by just being who you are, and I always tell myself Empower is the business of selling people themselves. That's it. Because there's nothing more powerful than that. I am trying to do my best to show up, I think, as my best self every day and thinking that this is the only thing that we need to do. That's what you've said today in the episode with the attitude. And Omar, again, thank you so much for coming on here.
Thank you and God bless you.
Do feel free to share it with your friends, drop us a rating on Apple, subscribe to the show, follow it on Spotify, and we'll see you soon in a new episode of Empathy Always Wins. Take care and have a lovely day, guys.